Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. God bless you. God bless you. This is Apostle Crystal Lee. Welcome to the Kingdom Ambassadors Worldwide Monday Night Prophetic Roundtable with myself and Apostle Jeremy Scott Gibbs. I'm excited to be here with you tonight to share this word of the Lord, and so we want to get right into it. If my brother is on the line, if you would press number one and the pound key. I'm not in remembrance of phone numbers tonight, so if that's you, Apostle Jeremy, okay, amen.
Hey.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I didn't want no funny stuff tonight because I'm not in the mood.
Oh, I'm not in the mood for no reparations.
My
life.
We can't do reparations tonight. I can't do it. Okay.
No reparations.
Not tonight. We've only got a few minutes.
Not tonight.
So listen, I'm excited to have you here. My brother is on the line. Apostle Jeremy Scott Gibbs. It's good to have him here with us tonight, and we're excited to have this opportunity to share the bread of life with you tonight. Our prayer for everybody, for us all. Is that we awaken out of our slumber tonight, that we see some things that we've never seen before, that we be expanded, that we would actually have the eyes of our understanding enlightened, that we would rise to become the manifested sons of God that we really are. This is a season for the manifested sons, Apostle Jeremy, and that's why we're still on this series called The Rise of Manifested Sons. And tonight we want to talk about a word for nations, the anointing of administration. It's something that we talk about here often, something that we talk about on the prayer line often. It's something that I talk about on Facebook and Periscope often, but tonight my brother and I are going to talk about the anointing of administration tonight, because we believe that it has a lot to do with what God is doing in this season and how he's preparing his people to move in a very strategic manner. Apostle Jeremy?
Absolutely. And that's, you know, ideally, like we talked about last week, we talked about the foundation of the apostles. The church is laid on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And the church has gotten somewhat of an encounter or an understanding of the prophet, even if it's surface level. At least they've been exposed to the prophetic, but we haven't really even scratched the surface. That's why we have the prophetic roundtable, because we want to teach, you know, really what it means to be prophetic, and how it's not the show on the platform, but it's the encouragement, comfort, and edification. You know, no matter where the venue is, we're going to encourage, you know, edify, encourage, and comfort. Bring comfort to people by speaking a word from the heart of God, and that's hearing the voice of God on a level so that you can impart to other people, bringing an establishment of the word. But we've had a lot of people that have begun to there's a lot of people to call themselves apostles, and I don't want to denigrate anybody or detract from that, because I had, when the Lord called me in my prayer time, spoke to me and said, "I'm elevating your calling from a prophet to an apostle." Mm-hmm. I had to go, "Okay, Lord, I don't know any other apostles."
Like, what does that look like?
How does that look like? I know what I see in Scripture and what I studied, and I know, but what does that really look like? And so I had to learn what it really meant to be an apostle. And I saw, you know, that there was some natural things within me, obviously, because your calling is going to be reflective in who you are.
It's going to reflect who
you
are.
Not, it's not separate. So I know how to manage things. I know how to implement things. I know how to raise people up in their talents and giftings and callings.
You're a builder.
I know how to.
You're a builder.
I am a builder. I know how to come up with a plan.
Absolutely.
And I'm not the grunt type of person. I'm the person that studies the print and directs everybody and looks over when somebody doesn't think I'm watching and says, hey, don't do that, or hey, you need to do it this way.
Right.
And they're like, I didn't even know you were paying attention to me.
That's right.
Exactly.
If there was something wrong with it, adjustments can be made. Yeah.
Absolutely. And so a lot of people, when they talk about apostle, I've seen in the past where they think because they have some spiritual sons and they've maybe helped start another church, that automatically makes them an apostle. No, there's truly an anointing of administration.
Guess what?
Yes, ma'am.
Guess what? I grew up around people that were never called apostles. They were pastors, and they continued to plant churches. They built churches out of their houses, all of that. So,
yep.
I mean, if that's the criteria, then anybody can be that. Anybody can be that. But like you're saying,
absolutely,
that's the whole purpose of understanding the anointing of administration, because there is a when that gifting comes to bear, it brings direction. It presents the platform for the direction that a nation needs to go in, that a people need
absolutely
to go in. And that's what the apostolic
absolutely
and the prophetic, that's why they're so phenomenal together. That's why they're a marriage, and they have to go together and be at the forefront,
yeah,
or at the helm, so to speak, of any ministry. It has to be there, because without it, you don't have the foundation that you need, and you don't have the direction that you need. Of course, a lot of people can teach, and they can have a prophetic gift and that kind of thing, but these offices are important because they hold a specific office that is directly for that purpose. You know, it's one thing,
yeah,
when you are a jack of all trades, you know what I'm saying? But when you're
right
actually anointed in the office of a thing, that's different than I'm just a cashier. No, I made the,
yeah,
cashier. I made the cash register. You know what I'm saying? I make
right
the cash registers.
Yep.
And I know how these things work. And I mean, you know, it's different when you're the manufacturer, when you're the person that has to come up with the plan, you're the person that has to present the plan, and there needs to be a direction for where everybody's going. It's the thing that keeps everything together. And we want to talk about Joseph a little bit tonight. And apostle, so funny, because even in this season of my life, I find myself in the position of Joseph. I'm looking at Joseph's story, and it's just so amazing to me. But what I love about Joseph is that he did not lose his position.
Right.
He kept his position in his mind and in his heart. That's another thing that
absolutely
makes a difference between whether you are apostolic or not, or whether you're called to a thing or not. Because if everything that,
yeah,
happens to you, you want to turn and run the other way. Everything happens to you, you don't go into the presence of the Lord. You go to something else. You're trying to figure out another angle, another direction. And I'm finding that that's what a lot of these leaders are doing in this season. They're not finding the relevance in where they are. And instead of saying, you know what, this is irrelevant, I'm not relevant,
yeah,
I don't think I'm on target, they just start grabbing other people and trying to figure out who they can suck the life out of and whose stuff they can steal. You know, that's not an apostle. That's,
no,
not an apostle.
That becomes
apostle,
a vampire.
From God. That's a vampire.
Yeah.
That's a spiritual vampire.
Yeah.
Apostles hear from God. You know what I'm saying? I would consider Abraham an apostle of the Old Testament. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Joseph would be another with an apostolic anointing. Daniel would have had an apostolic anointing. These people had an anointing because they heard from God. Noah would have had an apostolic anointing. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
No.
So if we want to look
absolutely
at
it. Absolutely.
Go ahead, apostle. Go ahead.
No, one of the marks that I was thinking of, that the Lord brought in my spirit, was one of the hallmarks of an apostle, and every apostle has unique giftings because everybody's unique.
Yes.
But there are some overriding things that are always consistent within that office,
yes,
and that administration. And one of them,
yes,
that I've seen for a long time is that an apostle truly operating in the apostolic is constantly trying to work themselves out of a job. They're constantly, and not
that's
just
it
giving up on
that's
things, starting things, and then
no
not finishing it. I'm talking about where they're constantly trying to raise up people,
and
they come in, and they're saying,
that's it,
you know what, you've got the giftings and talents, let me raise you up, let me build you up, let me strengthen you so
that's
that
it
you can take over.
Yeah.
Paul was constantly, yeah, doing that. He was constantly raising up people, putting them in position, and then moving on. And I believe that's,
Moses,
you know, it's not always
that
you have to, yeah, it's not always that you have to leave where you are. You don't always have to do that.
No.
But if you're not raising up people to take over for you, to fill in places so that you can move on to the next vision, next level, or
the
next place
thing
of,
absolutely,
ministry that God has for you. You know, and that may be in the
come
same
on
building, but that place changes. You know, I love to do that.
Does.
I love to raise up people. I love to when I've done construction, but also ministry. When you teach somebody how to do something, and you
it's
allow
amazing.
Their gifts and talents to flourish, and then you set
it's
them
amazing.
Free to operate it, you give them ownership, they flourish, they're excited.
Mm-hmm.
Now all of a sudden they've got purpose, they've got direction,
yes.
they're moving forward, they're excited.
Yes.
You know, that's the type of stuff that gets me thrilled, because that's the heart of God. So, yeah, it's talking
that's
about, we're talking about that. Absolutely. And that's what, so when you truly operating in the apostolic, you're looking for your replacement. You're looking for the person who's going to take your place.
Look, you're unlocking the people that are coming in your environment. You identify and you unlock. You're unlocking not for the purpose of taking what they have, but for the purpose of showing them how to operate the tools that they already possess and then putting honor on them. See, that's another hallmark of an apostle. Apostles have honor. Apostle Jeremy.
Yeah.
Apostles are honorable.
Yeah.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? They keep their word. You know, they're not intentionally saying things to people. They're not jukeboxes. They're not intentionally saying things to people just to make them feel some kind of way or to woo them or to bring them into their confidence. Again, that's a vampire spirit. You want to bring people into your confidence so you can suck the life out of them, get all that you can get out of them.
Right.
I'm over dealing with these leaders in this season that just want something from you. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's just, it's so gross to me. You know, that somebody would actually send you something and say, I need you to do this for me with no plan of paying you, with no, you know, you knew when you said this to me that you had no plan of paying me. You knew when you said this to me that you had a different mindset about what you were going to do. Why would you do that? Why would you approach me like that? So now it puts you in a place, Apostle, where you have to be on your guard. And it's a good thing because we have to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. That's another really key point about an apostle. We're paying attention to our environment. So these things come to make us stronger and to give us the elasticity that we need for the job that we're about to do. What I love about that thing that you mentioned, you were talking about training other people for other jobs, you know, for the job site. Because a lot of times when you're doing a massive building project, there are phases, right?
Yep.
So when you start talking about a phase, now I need people to work on this phase, but I need to move to the next phase of this thing. And then I need to raise people up in this area to begin to build on this phase so that it all comes together at the end of the day and everything is in place. What I loved about Joseph Apostle, I actually put something up today that was really just where I am today. But I want to talk about this thing about the anointing of administration for a minute. When you look in Genesis 37, there's a story. That's where Joseph's story really starts, the favor that's on him, his father's love for him, his compassion. I'm trying to tell you right now that an anointing of administration always starts with the identification of favor.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
Absolutely.
And it's when we have that encounter, Apostle, if you remember your encounters like I do, when you have that encounter, you recognize that there's something different about you, that God is telling you something very specific. He's saying, no, you're not like everybody else. I know that you're in this, you know, in this mold and everybody wants you to fit in, but it's something about you that just won't blend. It won't fit. You know what I'm saying? It just won't fit into the logical system of things. You know what I'm saying? Now, it fits into the kingdom body, but it won't just fit into every system. Because it's above the systems that you're dealing with most of the time. And that was Joseph's issue. He has these brothers, and he's having these dreams, and this dream that he's having is bigger than his brother's dream, so now they want to throw him somewhere. They want to get rid of him.
Yeah.
And that's a hallmark of apostles. Anytime you're in a ministry, in a church, and you are gifted that way, and you are seeing things, and you have a vision for building, and you're coming up with all kind of strategies that the Father has released to you, blueprints, for ministry and this kind of thing. At first, people might be a little enamored by that. They think that's wonderful until they realize they don't possess that.
Right.
And then it's a problem. Then it's a problem.
Absolutely.
Then jealousy, envy, and all of that other stuff, sabotage, and they don't realize that they're sabotaging themselves. What I love about Joseph is he was able to endure everything that he went through, and I believe that's what a lot of us have gone through, and I believe this is the season that's the end of that going through because we're about to come to our palace experiences. But nonetheless, he got thrown in a hole and left for dead. Then he got sold.
Yep.
When he got sold, he got bought by an Egyptian, wound up in Potiphar's house, and even though he came there a slave, now he's raised up to a position. And that's another thing about the anointing of an administrator. No matter where you put us, we can come in one way, but we're gonna raise up to the next level. We're going to another dimension.
Absolutely.
Right in that position.
Absolutely.
We're going to the next dimension, and you can't stop it because it's the anointing that's on our life. Go ahead, Apostle. We got 15 minutes, so I'm trying to spread it out.
The the aspect of that is Proverbs when it says that the gift makes a way for the giver and ushers him into the presence of the great. So literally the gift is going to make a way for the giver. So when you think of Joseph, you think about everybody else, you don't have to force your way in. You don't have to be in Potiphar's house and say, you know what, I want to be in charge of everything. I want to take, no, you're going to tackle the assignment
just
that
being
is
you.
In front of
you're
you.
You're just being you.
And do
That's
it.
It.
And do it right, and they're going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
I go into places,
that's right.
I tackle the assignment that's given me, and they go, wow, we want you to do this. Now step up. We want you to do this. I've walked into so many situations where I was not in charge. I was asked to help. I was asked to, you know, even church situations where I'm asked to help build a church. You know, can you swing over on a Saturday and help this church, help this congregation build their church? And I show up, and within 20 minutes and half an hour, they're asking me to take over that day and run the whole show that day. And I'm like, what is the deal? You know, I didn't say anything.
It's
I didn't
unavoidable.
Say, hey, you guys are screwing
it's
this up.
It's unavoidable.
But literally,
exactly. Unavoidable.
And so if we get that, then we understand how I'm raising up somebody to replace me, how I'm always, you know, Paul said it, wrote it this way. He said, we apostles have been put on procession at the end of the parade,
at
or the end,
end,
you know, the end of the
we're
procession.
The
as those condemned to die in the arena. He's talking about we're the grand finale at the end of the arena.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're the big show at the end, the ones who are condemned to die at the end. And most people don't get that. And if you're truly walking in the apostolic, you'll understand the law of replacement to where I'm supposed to be raising you up to take my job. They don't understand pushing other people forward. I think of Joseph when he was in prison there in Pharaoh's prison, and the cupbearer and the baker were there. And you notice he didn't push himself forward. He didn't try
he
to
didn't
make
push,
himself.
He said, just remember me. He said, remember me. That's all he
just
said.
Remember me.
Just
he
don't
didn't,
forget me, bro.
He didn't complain about it. He didn't he didn't say, well, those guys forgot me and blah, blah, blah. It was another couple of years before they even remembered he was the guy.
2 years.
Yeah, and they're like, what? Yeah. You know, and so he didn't get upset about it. He just waited it out, and he just trusted the Lord, and he just did what he was supposed to do. And I think that's part of the
issue the thing.
You were talking about earlier when we start scrambling and looking for stuff.
Here's the thing, Apostle.
You know,
when you recognize who you are, then you're able to deal with the process a lot better. It's when we don't know who we are that the process is so daunting. It's so painful.
Yeah.
It's such an issue. Because when you realize what's on you and why everybody's grappling at you, I put up something earlier today on Facebook. I'm trying to see if I can get to it really, really quickly. And it's the point that, you know, we have these counterfeit situations. And the Father had to deal with me today because I was like, you know what? I just kind of got to a place where I was like, you know, I'm just a little on edge. I'm just a little tired right now. I'm not going to quit, but I'm feeling some kind of way today. I'm feeling a little tired right now, feeling a little fatigued today. And the Father had to tell me, he said, up again, you will trust again, you will thrive again. You know what I'm saying? He was just going through all of these lists, and he's saying, don't move yourself out of position. The one thing that you have to understand when you're a leader, when you're an apostle, when you're a prophet, apostles and prophets aren't popular, first of all. We talked about that. But beyond that, the reality is this. You are positioned for those kinds of situations. And a lot of times I had to realize this even growing up, that the Father uses us, prophets, he uses apostles, he uses prophets, to set people up. And until you recognize that you're a part of a setup, a heavenly setup, then you feel some kind of way about stuff that people do to you. But when you step back and say, you know what, I don't have a need to get back at you. I don't have a need for revenge. I recognize what this was. And you can just go ahead and trust. You don't have to be afraid to trust people. Now, I'm not saying that you just be foolish, but I'm saying you don't have to be afraid to trust. You don't have to be afraid to get into ministry relationships. You don't have to be afraid of any of that because you recognize that no matter how many pits they throw you in. I mean, think about Joseph's life. He came out of the pit.
Yeah.
They sold him into Potiphar's house. He was risen from there. The wife wanted him. He refused it. That's another thing about apostles. They have character. He refused it, okay? And she hollered and screamed. He got thrown back into prison. Are you hearing me? There is a lifestyle. There is a trek that happens before you get to that palace experience based on your call, based on your calling alone.
Yeah.
There are some things that you're going to have to go through. And once you realize who you are, those things don't become an issue anymore. You may not like them all the time. It may not feel great all of the time, but you can really start relaxing. I mean, I'm, you know, literally in my room today, just kind of chilling. I did some work today. I, you know, still packing up, Apostle. still pulling some things together. Mm-hmm. I've got some things on the table right now. I'm waiting on a phone call. And I'm just sitting here like, well, I did tell the person the first. So, I mean, I'm waiting on the phone call. There's all kind of stuff happening around me, Apostle. I'm saying just literally,
yep.
like everything was coming out of the woodwork, just stuff just breaking out. Last night somebody called and said something off. You know, today somebody called out of the clear blue. I wouldn't even, how would these people even know what I need besides people are talking and having conversations? You know what I'm saying? And it's like, you know, mm-hmm. right when you're at that point, at that breaking point, the enemy wants to just start coming to bring things, to bring distraction. Because what he really wants to do is he wants to change your confession. Now, can you imagine where Joseph would have been if he had got in the mindset, you know what, the heck with it. I'm over it. I'm over it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But he maintained his position because he remembered the dream. He had fellowship with his father. He remembered
yeah.
the dream. And the favor that was on his life was undeniable. Even in the prison, he was in charge of stuff. Even in the prison.
Yep.
He was in charge.
Yeah.
I mean, so
yeah,
no matter
absolutely.
Where he went, I want to talk about this mantle for a second because I had such a thing come through my mind, through my spirit about this mantle and the diversity of the colors, you know, representing the favor that was on his life. And this is really his father's insight, his father's prophetic insight concerning his life, because when he got to that palace, he was not only able to interpret the dream, but he was also able to give a solution.
Right. Absolutely.
And he was able to function
Absolutely.
In all of those different capacities along the way. Even though he was put in really
mm-hmm.
tough situations, he still had a functionality. That was the diversity of that coat, the diversity of that mantle that was on his life. Go ahead, Apostle. We got like 8 minutes.
You know, that's one of the hallmarks, too, of an apostle is adaptability. It's being able to, you know,
yes.
I'm not, I've said it before, I know what my calling is. I know what the Lord has
yes.
called me to be, an apostle, prophet, teacher. And
yes.
but I have, so I've had pastors around me. Pastor Ken's been with me. Evangelist Guy's been with me. There are people around me that fill those other places in the fivefold ministry. But I've stepped into the role of an evangelist from time to time, stepped into the role of pastoring from time to time, because you have to lead by
yes.
example. You have to be adaptable. You have to be able to, you know, you have to understand some of the intricacies of those other places, even if you're not fully in them,
yes.
In order to be able to impart to other people. The Lord's going to give you a glimpse. He's going to give you, you know, a taste of what that looks like and feels like, so that when you're teaching somebody else, you can say, look, I know this nuance, and I know this by this. You know, you've got your own unique anointing on it, but here's some parameters that the Lord wanted me to teach you about this. And so when we're talking about apostles, there is definitely an overwhelming adaptability. And Paul wrote it this way. He wrote and said, I become all things to all men that by some means I might win some. A lot of people don't understand what that means, and they take it as
Absolutely.
An evangelistic mindset. They take it as a, you know, that's how we're going to present the gospel. And that's not what he was talking about, because when we're talking about winning souls, that's a discipleship mentality. That's not a conversion. That's not, you know, getting somebody on one day to,
yeah.
to pledge to Jesus or, you know, say a prayer. We're talking about discipling people. When we're talking about winning souls, that's a discipleship
yeah.
aspect. And so when Paul was writing that, he was saying, look, I need to adapt and adjust around the people that God puts in my life, so that I can minister to them where they're at and understand where they're at, and then help them get where they need to be. And that's integral in the anointing of the apostle. We need to be able to assess the situation and go, how do I adjust with that? You know, there's been times where I've gone and participated in things that I wasn't really into that thing. You know, they
yeah.
want to go to this type of sporting event, and I'm not into that sporting event. Or they want to go to this type of, you know, whatever it is. And I'm like, well, I'm not really into
yeah.
that. And I've heard the Lord literally say, I want you to go. Years ago, NASCAR was one of them. I had a friend of mine that was really into NASCAR. And I said, you know what, they're going in circles. It really doesn't do anything for me. But I sat, and because the Lord told me to, and I entertained my friend, and I listened to him talk about strategy and talk about how the, you know, all the different things that go on and all this other stuff, and I started to get enthusiastic about that, and I realized my enthusiasm for that thing, for NASCAR at that time, was so that I could show my friend show him that I'm genuinely interested in his life and what he cares about, and then when I go to talk to him about other things, that's reciprocal. He's then enthusiastic
yes.
and excited about what I'm talking about his purpose and his calling and his destiny and what's going on. And I think so many people, they're like, well, I'm not really into that, and so I don't need to pay attention to that. No, as an apostle,
right.
you need to be all things to all people, meaning you need to take an interest in what they're interested in and not just come at them with what you think they need to hear from you. You need to, it's an investment. You make an investment in somebody else, and then you get the dividends and the returns later. And so that's another aspect of that administration.
Yes.
Am I coming in and am I seeing what you care about? And then helping, you know, showing some enthusiasm about that and saying, you know what, I like that. That's not, wasn't something that I'm interested in, but I can see how you're enthusiastic about it. And then they turn around and they're saying, you know what? What were you talking about the other day? Oh, okay. So the Lord opens those doors, but we got to be mindful of those things. You know, that's one of another thing about apostles. We could talk about, we could break down the whole list that we have that are hallmarks, that are things that mark an apostle, not just signs, wonders, and miracles, as we read in the one text. And people say, well, that's it, just signs, wonders, and miracles. And I go,
yeah,
no,
just signs, wonders, and miracles.
And that's not all of it. Paul said, when I was with you, I labored, and God proved me and showed me forth.
That's it.
I was, you know,
that's it.
The initial thing that got your attention was signs, wonders, and miracles. But after that, there's so many other aspects of the anointing of the apostle that are put on display,
yes,
that are subtle, that are nuanced.
There's such a diversity.
Because we're talking to leaders.
Yeah, it's a diversity.
Yeah,
it's a very large diversity, and so it's an amazing place to be. But we've got to, that honor has to be there. That character has to be there. All of those different things are different nuances of the personhood of the apostle. And when those things are in place, and there's a functionality that's easy, you know, you were talking about, you know, raising people up. And the other thing about that too, apostle, is the fact that once you are in these dynamic relationships, these divine connections, not only are you unlocking, but you're being unlocked for your next dimension as well. But unless you see it that way, unless you see that communication that way, then you're always thinking that you don't need anybody. I'm finding that a lot of these apostles, they you know, these leaders, they have this attitude like, well, I don't need none of y'all. And I'm like, well, you stupid, because how you going to do the work? You know what I'm saying?
And if you
Joshua
have that attitude,
went to the battle by himself.
If you've got that attitude, you're not focused on raising the people up that God has placed them under you.
You're not focused on it. You're not focused on the kingdom assignment, if that's your attitude. You're focused on whatever your desire is, whatever your kingdom that you're doing, whatever it is you're establishing, that's what you're focused on.
I mean, Ephesians 4,
when you become focused on the kingdom, go ahead, Apostle.
Well, Paul said, wrote it in Ephesians 4 and said he's given some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to raise up the body to do works
of service.
That's right,
for the work of the ministry.
So if the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher are doing all the works, then they're actually not doing the work that they're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to do enough of the work to raise up the rest of the body to actually do the work. Shouldn't be the apostle always laying hands on the sick. It should be those with gifts of healing laying hands on the sick. It shouldn't be the evangelist always reaching the lost. It should be those that the evangelist has raised up that go out and reach the lost. I mean, Stephen there are so many people that are examples, and we go, oh, he must have been an evangelist. He wasn't called an evangelist. He was just out doing what he was doing, you know?
Absolutely.
It wasn't Stephen. What am I thinking of? In Acts chapter 8. Is that Stephen?
You were thinking of Stephen.
Was I thinking of Stephen, the one that went down with the Ethiopian that got translated? Philip. No, Philip.
Philip is who you're talking about. Philip.
Yeah,
Philip.
Yeah, Philip went down.
The Ethiopian
eunuch.
And
we go.
Absolutely.
Exactly. So, you know, that we need to raise, if we're not raising people up to do the work, and we're just doing the work ourselves, which a lot of ministers are doing, then you're not doing what God has, you know, ordained for you to do in
your
office.
That's not kingdom. That's church. That's church. There is a difference. We'll get into that. There is a difference, a stark difference between kingdom and church, and that's why that needs to be discussed, because you need to know where you're sitting at, you know. At the end of the day, we love you so much. We're glad to be here with you. And listen, if you need to get in touch with us, kingdomambassadors247@gmail.com. We appreciate you, and we love you, and we're looking forward to Friday night, Faith for Family. Join us on Facebook and Twitter at Apostle Crystal Lee, and you can find Apostle Jeremy. If you connect to me, you'll find him. I promise you, that's my Apostle Prophet, bro. And we love you, and we'll see you next time. Peace.
Amen. All right.